Let the church say amen. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. Genesis 22. If you're there, say amen. And just a little side note, y'all. I know y'all remember when Sharon was pregnant the second time with Skylar, and she was a little bitty thing. Didn't want to go to nobody but mama. And as y'all see, she's still under mama. But on tomorrow, we will be celebrating her 21st birthday. Times fly. And they're just letting me know that I'm getting old. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, and it reads, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his son, his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You may be seated. We want to talk to you this morning on the subject of it's only a test. It's only a test. Let us pray. Most wise and eternal God, Father, once again, it's preaching time. Father, once again, it is thy servant that's standing in the need of prayer. Lord, I need your anointing that make preaching easy. Father God, I need you to reach down right now. Touch thy servant. Father God, anoint me from the sole of my feet to the crown of my head, that I may stand behind your sacred desk, preaching nothing but your word, not adding to it nor taking away, but speaking boldly that which I ought to speak. Father God, I ask now that you will consecrate these your sheep. Father God, remove whatever may hinder them or keep them from hearing a word from thee. Father, grant us now access into your throne room, that we know when we leave here today, we've truly been in your presence. Father God, we ask now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, him crucified, that we may have life. In his name we pray. And all the blood-washed, born-again believers declare, amen. It's only a test. How many of you have been through a test this week? How many of you have been through a test just about every day this week? It's only a test. And I'm gonna give y'all a little secret. The reason why you keep going through the test, because you keep failing. You keep failing. You say you're a child of God, but you react like the world to the test. You say you're a child of God. Oh, you quote scripture real good, but the devil keep tripping you up. See, the reason is because the devil has studied you, but you haven't studied yourself. We say we good, we holy, we sanctified, but we still got this flesh. We can't change. We can't get rid of it. But what we can do is start working out in the word. See, when you work out in your word, you get strong in your weakness. When you work out in the word, you get strong in your walk. When you work out in the word, you get strong in your talk. See, when you work out in the Word, you begin to understand and recognize the wiles of the devil. But if you just get up in the morning, say a quick prayer, suck a little air, and out the door you go, then guess what? Satan waiting on you. He got something to trip you up with. And guess what we do? We fall right in the trap. And then we ask, Lord, why, where you at? Lord, why I keep having to go through this? Why does keep happening to me? What do you think Abraham felt? Abraham had been asking the Lord for a son. And you know, when we ask God for something, he started teaching us patience. I asked the Lord to give me patience one time. And when I came home three, four, maybe a week later, I can't remember exactly, but I came home and Sharon told me, she said, go in the bathroom. We were living in the townhouse at that time, and downstairs bathroom there. I thought something was wrong. She said, go in there and look at the sink. I thought something was wrong with the sink. So I'm in there all up under the sink, looking and turning the faucets on. You know, I'm under there looking, ain't nothing dripping, ain't nothing leaking. I'm like, what am I supposed to be doing in here? She said, look on the sink. Now, remember, I had asked the Lord for patience. So when I looked on the sink, there was a pregnancy test. And it was positive. I said, Lord, I know I asked you for patience, but this ain't it. And let me tell y'all something. When that little fella got here, from the time he was born, he never stopped moving. Matter of fact, when she was pregnant with Skylar, the doctor told her to sit down. Don't be walking up and down the steps. Now, she was supposed to have been born in November, right? Yeah. He supposedly had the chicken pox and was at home with her. Well, all day long, she chased him up and down the steps. So about 11 o'clock that night, I'm laying in the bed asleep because I got to get up early and go to work. She came and said, it's time. I said, time for what? Typical man, right? Yeah. She said, I think my water done broke. I said, what do you mean water broke? She said, nut, it's time to go. I jumped up, and she had a suitcase sitting by the door. She said, call my mama. I'm running down the steps trying to put one shoe on and all this, you know. And all, I come out the house. She said, did you get my bag? I was like, oh, man. Had to go back and get the bag. Well, needless to say, we got to the hospital. The little girl was born, healthy, beautiful. On Halloween. She was born on Halloween. Now, I said all that to say this. When we go through stuff, God will teach you patience in the midst of your tests. He will teach you how to depend on him. Amen. In your storm. What are you saying, preacher? Here we have Abraham, who had been waiting for Isaac for 25 years. He was 75 when God promised him a seed of Isaac. He told him that he will bless Isaac's seed to the point where it would be as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Then here come Isaac. But before Isaac came, Sarah tried to help out God. How many times do we try to help God in the situation we're going through? Lord, I called on you, but Lord, you taking too long. I got to fix this myself. And what do? We do everything but the right thing. The only thing you need to do in the midst of your test is get on your knees. Paul said the best posture to fight the wiles of the devil is not standing up, but kneeling down. Because, see, when you get on your knees, that's when you find your strength. When you get on your knees, you will know how to talk to God. See, a lot of us will go to God in prayer, and all we're doing is rambling. God know what you needed before you got down there. He know what was on your heart before you even came to him. The problem with us is we think we got to say all this. All we have to do, saints, is be obedient to the word. Is it easy? No. Because if it was easy, the world wouldn't be in the shape it's in now. There would be more. Matter of fact, the church would be busting at the seams. Don't you know there's more people in the club than there is in the church? And some of the people in the club, all right, let me hear you. But as we see, Abraham had been waiting for a son. Now, God, Sarah got in the way and gave her handmaiden to Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael was born. And you know, Abraham loved this child, but he wanted one. See, a lot of times we'll try to fix what God hasn't done yet because we get tired of waiting. Although it looks good, guess what? That ain't what God said. That ain't what he said. Be patient. I remember that old Kung Fu movie that used to come on, and the sensei would always teach the student, and he told him, pluck the pebble from my hand, grasshopper. And every time grasshopper fell because he wasn't listening to the master. And he told him, be patient. Be patient. It'll come. Be patient, saint. It's only a test. It's only a test. A lot of us get all broken up and bent out of shape and confused and frustrated, and we start doubting. See, when you allow doubt to creep in, guess what you're saying to God? You're not strong enough to deliver me from this. But I come to tell you this morning, the God I serve is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask, think, or even imagine. But all you got to do is trust him and depend on him. And he'll bring you through whatever you're going through, whatever the situation is. It could be the doctor that told you that you got an ailment that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. Well, guess what, saint? I know a doctor named Jesus who's able to fix even what ails you. Matter of fact, you might be in some trouble in your children. You know, your children will get in trouble sometimes. And we're trying to figure out how we're going to get them out of it. And we go spend all this money on a lawyer. You know, you got to watch these lawyers. You got to watch. See, they talking out the right side of the neck, the left side, the front, and the back. All they want to do is get your money, honey. And let me tell you something. You ain't going to get it back. And the child still might be in the situation. But I know a lawyer who's able to deliver you even out of what you're in. Even if you messed up time and time again, he'll get you out. And it won't cost you nothing. Well, I'm about done now. Watch this here. Abraham loved Ishmael, but he wanted the one. So he told him, Ishmael, you got to go. Now, you know, Abraham had been through some stuff. Here he is, then waited 25 years for Isaac. And then the Lord telling him, you got to give him up. How many of you ever had something that you have been waiting on and you finally get it? And then they tell you, you got to give it away. Wouldn't you be broken? Wouldn't you be devastated? Exactly. So how do you think Abraham felt? Can I break it down for you? This is a picture of what God felt like. What are you saying, preacher? Abraham represented God. When we were so sinful that God said, I wish I never made man. God had to give up something in order to get us back. So what did he give up? He gave up his only begotten son. That we, sinful man, may have eternal life. The Bible said it grieved God so that he couldn't even bear to look at Jesus on the cross. He turned away from him. And that's when they said that it got dark as though it was midnight, even though it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Here we have Abraham who has to give up Isaac, his only son, who he had waited for 25 years, who was born to him when he was 100 years old, his wife 90, who was barren. God wants to birth something in you today. He wants to put something in your spirit to let you know, I am God, and beside me there is none other. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you are right now, it's only a test to see if your faith is going to be dependent on him. Watch this. The Bible says Abraham got up early. Don't you know if you get up early in the morning? When ain't nothing stirring but you and the when you get up early in the morning. See, it took me some time to figure that out. I didn't want to get up early and spend no time with God. I wanted to get up when I felt like getting up. And then I would spend just a little bit of time. Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I can move my legs, my arms. I got the activity of my limbs. I can talk, kiss the wife, and out the door. And couldn't understand why I was still going through. Couldn't understand why everything, simple stuff, would make me upset and frustrated. Am I talking to somebody? Car pull out in front of you. You know, it ain't nothing happen, but I get mad. I guess that's the truck driving me. But there's going to be trials. There's going to be tests. As long as you declare that you are a child of God, guess what? You got a bullseye on you. And Satan want to knock you out of the game. Because see, when he can get you back on the sideline, you no longer affected. You no longer a threat. You know what? Satan don't bother the ones he already got. Did you understand that? So if you're saying to yourself right now, well, Satan don't bother me. You might want to do an inventory of your religion or your spirit walk or your relationship with God. Because if you ain't going through nothing. All right, let me close this thing. As we see, Abraham waited. And once he got Isaac, God told him, you got to sacrifice. So the Bible says Abraham got up early in the morning. Now, you notice when God called Abraham, he answered. And he told him, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take Isaac, your son. Now, keep in mind, y'all, it said a lad, but Isaac was all probably in his 20s by now. I would say probably mid-20s, so he was a grown man. And the Lord told Abraham, take Isaac, your son, your only son, the son whom you love, take him up to a mountain that I'm going to tell you. And sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And see, a burnt offering was a sacrificial offering to God, representing the death of Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. It wasn't just a typical offering, because see, there was a burnt offering, then there was a sin offering and a transgression offering. So God told Abraham to go up and make a burnt offering. Abraham knew what that was. Now imagine the agony that he's going through. Man, I waited 25 years for the son. Now I got to give him up. I got to offer him up. And not only that, I got to be the one to kill him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going through this? Your child, you got to sacrifice. And we think we make sacrifice. What have you given up this week for God? Huh? Think about that. And then compare to what God gave up for you. Abraham didn't argue with God. Abraham didn't dispute God. He didn't ask that famous question that we always hear. Why I got to do that? Lord, why? How many times have you asked God that? How many times have you asked God why? Instead of trusting. Abraham saddled up his ass, took two of his young men, chopped the firewood that morning, told Isaac, come on, let's go. And while they was riding, you know, the Bible said 3 days later. 3 days later, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place that God told him to go. See, it might take you some time to get to where God wants you to be, but when you get there, you're going to know you're in the place. Oh, I feel my help coming here now. You'll know you're in the place. Abraham didn't stop when he got to the place. He told his servant, listen close to what he said to him. See, this is when you know you're walking with God, because God has told Abraham prior that Isaac would be the blessed seed. How can he be the blessed seed if he's dead? God has told you that he's going to bless you. Just because you ain't got it yet don't mean he ain't going to do it. Watch this. He told the servant, listen what he said. Y'all wait here. Me and the lad going yonder to worship and we'll be right back. See, God will tell you what he's going to do in your life. But see, we don't listen closely to the details. When he tell you he's going to bless you, he might not tell you when, what time, what day, what month, what year, but know that it's coming. He had promised that Abraham would be blessed through Isaac. So Abraham came to the conclusion, even if I have to kill him, God, you're going to raise him back up. See, the world will kill your dream. The world will knock you down. The world will tell you you ain't this and you ain't that. But let me tell you, when God tell you that you belong to him, and no matter where you are, he will lift you up. Because see, my Bible tell me, they that God exalt, can't no man bring down. And what God got for you is for you. I heard a little fella say one time, the reason we don't have what we're supposed to have in the walk with God is because we didn't open our mouth. See, when you open your mouth, you open up doors. Oh, my God. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And if you don't know how to ask him, come talk to me. I'll tell you how. You got to get on your knees. See, the best posture before God is not standing up. We don't have to be like the Pharisees in the temple who stood up and beat it upon his chest and said, I'm glad I'm not like this man. See, that's what's wrong with a lot of us Christians. We always comparing ourselves to somebody else. Well, I'm not like this one. I'm not like that one. Well, guess what? God don't look at everybody. He's looking at you. So they get up there. Matter of fact, let me back up a minute. I got ahead of myself. As they was walking, the Bible said that they had the wood, they had the fire, and they had the knife. And see, Isaac recognized all that because he had been taught the tradition of a sacrifice. Amen. He knew what was needed. You had to have a ram, a knife, fire, and the wood. So as they walked, Isaac said, Daddy, I see the knife. I got the wood, and I see the fire. But where's the ring? How many times have you asked yourself that? Lord, I need a ram in the bush. And everywhere you look, you couldn't find one. And that burden started to get heavy. Look like everything was just coming down on you. Because, see, Isaac knew something was up. He said, we're going up here to sacrifice, but we ain't got nothing to sacrifice. What we going to do? Abraham didn't break stride. Matter of fact, he didn't even look at the boy. He just kept walking and said, God will provide a lamb. See, sometimes, saints, you got to walk this path that's laid out for you. And the problem with a lot of us, when we walk the path, we get distracted. See, it's like that old mule that grandpa had when he was plowing the field. He had to put blinders on him to keep him to walk straight. Because if he didn't, the old mule would get spooked or confused, and he want to go this way or that way. See, sometimes you got to walk the path that God gave you. In spite of how it looks, you got to keep walking. And you walk it one footstep at a time, and you walk with God. See, as this song said, I come to the garden alone, for the dew is still on the roses. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me, I am his own. Sometimes you got to walk with God in spite of what it looks like. Even if you don't know where you're going, you got to keep walking. You got to keep trusting and understand that God will deliver you and keep you. As they got up on the mountaintop, Bible said Abraham laid the wood out on. Matter of fact, they said he built the altar. Then he laid the wood out on it. And he bound up Isaac, laid him on the altar. Oh, my God. Don't you know the devil get real busy in your life when you're getting close to where God wants you to be? When that blessing is right there, God is ready to open up a door for you. He's ready to bless you. And that's when Satan really started to attack you. How many of you ever asked God to move in your life and God was just about to move and looked like the bottom just fell out of it? And you begin to wonder, Lord, what's going on? What's happening? What is all this? But guess what? If you put your arm on, you ain't got to fight. All you got to do is stand. Abraham stood flat-footed, understanding that God had made him a promise. You know what my Bible told me about God and his promises? Once he made them, he can't take them back. Did y'all know that? Then why are we doubting? Why we don't believe as though we should? And I'm not pointing fingers at you because I'm right there too. All we need is a little bit. A dab will do. And I ain't talking about Brill Cream. Well, y'all young folks, that Brill Cream was a commercial back in the 50s. That it was a hair product for men. If your hair was nappy or uncontrollable, you put that Brill Cream on it, and it would lay it down and wave it up. And you know, you'd be walking around strutting and think you the stuff. A dab will do. Well, guess what? A dab of faith will do you even better. Watch this. The Bible said that Abraham bound up the lad, laid him on the altar, grabbed his knife, and as soon as he raised his hand, see, God just want to see if you're going to be faithful. God just want to see if you're going to go all the way. God just want to see if you're going to give him the glory. The Bible said as soon as Abraham raised his hand to kill Isaac, the angel cried out, Abraham, had to do? Because we see that you love God more than you love Isaac. And you didn't withhold him from us. And because you was willing to sacrifice something that you had waited for all of your life, that let me know that you love me. And you had more faith in me that I would, even though you, I told you to kill it, that I would bring him back. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how bad it is. And I don't need to know. But I want you to know this. It's only a test. It's only a test. Because, see, God is testing you to see how far are you willing to walk with him. And a lot of, thank you, Holy Ghost. See, it's just like running a mile. I'm pretty sure everybody in here at one point in time in life has tried to run a mile. That's four laps on a track. And the first mile, the first lap is easy, ain't it? It's real easy. Oh, we running. Second lap around, you done broke out in a stride then. Oh, you good. Yeah. Third lap around, them legs start getting heavy. You still running, but it's hard. But then when you come around on that fourth lap, them legs real heavy then. You can barely pick them up. Matter of fact, that little voice inside of you saying, man, quit. Give it up. And see, the problem with that is, you can see the finish line. You can see it. It ain't that far away. But that human nature wants to quit because it's painful. It hurts. It's agonizing. You know what God said? In your weakness, I am strong. So it's no longer you. When it gets to the point where you can't do it, you saying to yourself, I can't do this. No, you can't. But God can. God can. And that's what he had told Abraham. Abraham, if you kill him, I'll raise him up. Because I told you that his seed will be blessed. And if his seed gonna be blessed, no matter what you do, I got you. But God will provide a way of escape. Hey, watch. The Bible says when Abraham stopped as he heard the angel speak to him, he heard something in the back. He heard a noise. He said, wait, man. Ain't nothing up here but me, Isaac, and the Lord. But remember when Abraham was going up the mountain with Isaac, he told him what? God will provide. Saints of God, God will provide you what you need. Even if it's at the last second, he will provide it for you. If you don't believe me, try. Try it. It will work. Bible said there was a ram caught in the thicket. Abraham went and got the ram, laid him on the altar and sacrificed. And him and Isaac worshiped on a mountain. Now, can you imagine them two young servants sitting down at the bottom of the mountain? And I'm pretty sure Abraham and Isaac had been up there sometime. And you know how we tell people how the Lord bless them, gonna bless them, how he gonna use us. And first thing they say, yeah, right. Okay. You say he gonna do it. Yeah. Them two servants are probably sitting in there saying, man, they've been up there for a long time now. I don't think nobody coming back but Abraham. Because, you know, he didn't have no ram. They had the knife, the fire, and the wood. Pretty sure he went up there to sacrifice the young boy. Man, that's a shame, man. Yeah, it is. And then they look up. And they see two people walk. They see two people walk. And the closer they get, they recognize it's Abraham and his son Isaac. Don't you know when God bless you, And if you didn't told somebody what you're going through and what God can really do in your life, and they start doubting, they even try to make you doubt. And then they see you a couple of days later. But see, they don't just see you. They see two people walking. You and the Lord. Have you ever heard somebody tell you when you've been spending time, quality time with the Lord, it's something different about you? You don't look the same. I can't put my finger on it, but it's something different. Because see, when you start trusting God, them tests that you go through, you start passing. When the doctor give you a bad report, God said, don't worry about it, I got you. And when you get up, it ain't just you walking. It's you and God. And your steps get a little lighter. You start walking upright. That knee don't hurt no more. That back pain gone. Huh? You begin to walk like a child of God. Because guess what, saint? It was only a test. And you made it through. Because the Bible said they came back down the mountain. And the servants, and they got back on, they saddled horses, and they went back to where Abraham was living at in Beersheba. And they worshiped there because Abraham passed the test. And Abraham had been through many tests in his life. But he passed the ultimate test because God want to know where your heart is. He want to know where your heart is. And let me just say this. God sometimes would take your materialistic things. Because a lot of times we get caught up in what we have instead of who gave them to us. And I know this from experience. I'm done preaching now. I'm going to close. But I had a 1988 Toyota pickup truck. Brand new off the lot. Wine breaking with a gray stripe chrome bumpers. I kept it clean. But wipe it down when it stopped raining. My grandma sat on the porch across the street. She said, boy, you're wiping on it too much. You ain't going to have it long. I said, yeah, grandma, but it's clean. She said, don't forget who gave it to you. I said, yeah, grandma, I know it. It's all right. 3 days later, I hit a car head on, total loss. But it was the grace of God that I'm sitting here today. It's only a test. Keep God first, and he'll take you places you never imagined, even at a right old age, because he blessed Abraham when he was 100. Guess what he'll do for you? He'll do even better if you keep walking with him, if you keep talking to him, if you just work out in his word. God will keep you as he always will. The doors of the church are open. To anyone amongst today that have not invited Christ in their heart and the pardon of their sin, the time is now. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm going to ask Brother Joe to come and closes out in his own way. Oh, my bad. Is there one today? Is there one? Amen. If not, maybe see.